It's here and now.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off.
She takes just like a woman. Yes, she does. She makes love just like a woman.
How does it feel? To be without home.
Bob Dylan, who won the Nobel Prize in Literature for his body of work today, for as the Nobel Committee said, having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. Now, there's an acceptance speech I'd like to hear. NPR arts correspondent Lynn Neary is here with her thoughts. Lynn, first, were you surprised?
I was surprised. I think everybody was surprised by this decision. You know, Bob Dylan's name has come up in recent years as a possibility. The British booking agents, Ladbrokes, are always giving him some odds. I think this year it was something like 16 to 1. But I don't think anyone really expected that Bob Dylan was ever going to win the Nobel Prize for Literature,
right,
in literature particularly.
The first American to do so since Toni Morrison in 1993. And people do seem a little divided. Salman Rushdie tweeted, from Orpheus to Faiz, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, song and poetry have been closely linked. Dylan is the brilliant inheritor of the bardic tradition. Great choice.
Well, that's really interesting because after the official announcement, Sara Danius, permanent secretary of the Swedish Academy, gave an interview, and I thought that she gave a really interesting explanation for why Bob Dylan was chosen and where he fits in the poetic tradition. Basically, she hailed poets like Homer and Sappho and said, these are poets who expected people to listen to them, sometimes accompanied by music, and that this is, you know, poetry has always been an oral tradition, and that Bob Dylan fits into this great line of oral poetry. Yeah. But she pointed out Homer and Sappho are also read, and she contended that Bob Dylan can be read as well.
Well, and we're going to listen at least to some lyrics in a second, but there's dissenting voices. Pamela Paul, the editor of the New York Times Book Review, says, still processing Bob Dylan winning Nobel Prize in Literature. So many deserving novelists. So that gets to that point that you made. But let's talk about some of the lyrics. Here's a favorite from me. Positively 4th Street, 1965. I wish that for just one time you can stand inside my shoes. You'd know what a drag it is to see you. Love that lyric. Yours.
Well, I wanted to listen to Visions of Johanna from Blonde on Blonde. Let's listen to that and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet? We'll sit here stranded, though we're all doing our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it.
Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. If that's not poetry, I ask you, what is? I mean, that's an incredible image. It's beautiful. And as I'm sure you've been doing, I've been going through the internet, finding people's favorite lyrics, and I came across one that I'd like to read. It's from one of his most famous songs, but when I read these lyrics, I had no idea it was from this song. Let me read this.
Go.
Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves, let me forget about today until tomorrow. That is from Mr. Tambourine Man.
Wow. When you isolate it like that, it's no longer sort of the musty old top 40 hit.
No, it isn't. It is poetry. And read it out loud and you hear it as poetry.
Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to.
Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man. Lynn Neary, another that I love, Masters of War. It's hard to recapture how a song like this just catapulted onto the scene in 1963 as the Vietnam War escalating. Lyrics like, "Come you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks." I mean,
unbelievable. I remember listening to that album, Free Will and Bob Dylan. My older sister brought it home. I was pretty young, so it was interesting that I'm thinking about it now that I was listening to such sophisticated lyrics, because I have this distinct memory of sitting in my parents' house by myself listening to that album and hearing those lyrics in particular and just being stunned, honestly.
You put a gun in my hand, and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, you want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain.
I don't think anybody had really heard that kind of music before, and of course Dylan immediately became known as sort of a protest singer, which later on he sort of didn't want that mantle. He said, "I'm not a protest singer."
Yeah.
But he was known then as a protest singer because, as you say, everything was changing then, and of course he caught that in his lyrics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll talk just briefly about the different phases. Maybe anti-war. He was a Christian singer for a while.
Right.
Rockabilly.
Right. Well, of course, as I say, he started out as things were changing socially. The Vietnam War, as you mentioned, was going on. And so his songs were very much perceived as protest songs. He was very much in the tradition of the folk singer Woody Guthrie. I mean, he emulated him. But so then later on, not too long afterwards, all of this happened in the 60s. He introduced electric rock to his music, much to the consternation of his fans, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in 1969, he came out with the album Nashville Skyline. That was country rock.
One more night, the stars are in sight, but tonight I'm as lonesome as can be. Oh, the moon is shining bright, lighting everything in sight, but tonight no light will shine on me.
You know, within a very short space of time, he went through a lot of changes. And then, as you say, at a certain point, he converted to Christianity. That was a very controversial time in his career. But he always had a very serious side to his music. He always had very complex lyrics. And the Swedish Nobel Committee, in addition to citing his poetry, also mentioned the fact that he continually reinvented himself as an artist, and that's another reason that he was honored.
I wouldn't change it if I could. I can make it all match up. I can hold my own. I can deal with the situation right down to the bone. I can survive and I can endure. I don't even think about her most of the time.
Always, no matter how wealthy he became from his art, anti-establishment. I'm thinking of from Like a Rolling Stone. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging for your next meal. Mocking of others, but also just very, withdrawn and reclusive himself.
He is very reclusive, and he, as I mentioned, for instance, very much rejected the idea that he was political. He didn't like people viewing his music as political. I think possibly one of the reasons that the Nobel Committee honored him with the award is because they very often do give the Nobel Prize to writers who use their talent and use their work to challenge the status quo politically in their countries. And so I think he is seen as being part of that tradition, which the Nobel Prize Committee has always honored those kinds of artists.
All right. Well, some people have never forgiven him for how dismissive he was of Joan Baez. That's a whole other story. But people are already weighing in with their favorites, the lyrics. I mean, it's just amazing because he's written so many songs. And so remember, leave your comment at hereandnow.org as we leave with more Bob Dylan and the thoughts of NPR arts correspondent Lynn Neary. Lynn, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. It was good to be here.
Some more lyrics. Maggie's Farm. I try my best to be just like I am, but everybody wants you to be just like them. Let us know your favorites at hereandnow.org.
I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. Well, he hands you a nickel, he hands you a dime, he asks you with a grin if you're having a good time, and he finds you every time you slam the door.